You want your first night of family? This is our first little present.
He said if he doesn't come, they can't see his eyes.
This week we learned much of the Gemara on Kuf Hei Yomer Aleph. The Gemara makes a distinction between eating first fleshiks and then milchiks, as opposed to eating first milchiks and then fleshiks. It's a little unclear in the Gemara what it's based on, so we explain in Shulchan Aruch they quote the two opinions, Rashi and the Rambam, whether the reason why you have to wait more between fleshiks and milchiks is because of the habasar adenim bein shenem, basar shebein hashinayim, that the flesh gets caught in between the teeth more so than the cheese, or it's because the flavor of the flesh lingers on. And then in Shulchan Aruch they say we should be machmer for both opinions, both Rashi and the Rambam, each one has a kula and a chumah. So we discussed that a little bit. Then the Gemara quoted Kuf Hei Yomer Aleph. Yeah. Then the Gemara quotes after this Habosah Adena Ben Hashinayim Ben Shinayim. The Gemara says Omer Marukva. The line after it says Bamidbu Yud Aleph. So we saw the Gemara Ravuk Marukva says Anod Hamilsik Chalal Bar Chamra the Gabi Abba. My father was a holy tzaddik. My father was like wine, and I'm like spoiled wine. I'm like vinegar. The wine gets spoiled, it turns into vinegar. It says, my father, when he would eat fleshiks, my father would eat fleshiks at 7 o'clock at night. One night, he wouldn't eat milchiks till 24 hours later. No, I don't have such a chumer to wait 24 hours. I only wait from one meal to the other. So there's a machlokes harishani what that means over here. So the Rif and the Rambam say kamo sheishos, approximately 6 hours. You have to wait from one meal to the other. And we explained that the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva. It's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva that this idea to wait 6 hours is only a chumer. It's a minig. Just like the father had a personal minig to wait 24 hours. That's not a din. So the son who says he's only a chala bachamra, he's not as holy as the father, his practice of waiting 6 hours was also just a minig. Mikir adin, you only have to wait. Minat Torah, it's only also if the flesh and the milk are cooked together. So the whole idea of waiting is only midirabbanan to begin with. But the din midirabbanan only requires you should wait 1 hour. That's how it says in the Zohar. And the extra 5 hours, that's only a minig. So therefore the Chasam Sofer says there's room to be mekel, to be permitted to violate the Nisa de Rabbanon to eat milchiks within the hour, that we would only allow if the fellows are cholu shem b'sakana. To violate an Nisa de Raisa, you have to have a cholu shem b'sakana, sofik sakana. To violate an Nisa de Rabbanon is genuk if he's a cholu shem b'sakana. But to permit people to have milchiks within the next 5 hours after the first hour, since it's only a minig, so the Chasam Sofer says even if it's a bari with a mechesh bialma, he's not even a chodesh em b'sakon, he just has aches and pains, slight aches and pains, we'd also be mad to that. So the Rif and the Rambam learn that the sun would wait 6 hours, and that's kemoshe shows approximately 6 hours from one meal to the other, and that's only a minig. And the Rabbi Natam and Taisvis, the Taisus on Amid Beis and Kuvdal on Amid Beis and the Taisus over here, the Sudos Achrita, Abinatam claims that the Gemara never said a word about waiting 6 hours. The Sudos Achrita just means you say Bar Nefosha, so you say Birchas Amos, and then right afterwards you want to have your milchiks. He says the Gemara never said a word about waiting from one meal to the other. Obviously they were aware of the Rif and the Rambam, because he's coming Lapuke that there. Abinatam said it does mean you have to wait like from breakfast to supper, a whole bunch of hours. It just means you say bracha chayda and you eat the next meal.
What about the reverse? Is there anything that from
dairy to fleshiks? Right, you have to wash off your fingers. In the days of Gemara, they used to eat, everybody ate everything with their fingers. You have to wash off your fingers. We're going to see whether that's Medina or that's only a Chumrah. Okay, when is it Medina? When is it a Chumrah? And then you have to brush your teeth. You need the Kinuach V'Adocha. You have to rinse out your mouth and you have to chew something. That's what we learned last week. You have to chew something, brush your teeth out. And then Medina the Gemara, it seems that you can have the Fleishiks right after the Milchiks, and that was the Ramos Minig on Shavuos. That they used to have milchiks on Shavuos doesn't mean they had a milchik meal. They would say Hamoitzi on Lecha Mishnah like every Shabbos and Yontif, and then they would eat from both chalas. At a normal Shabbos and Yontif, you get the impression from the Ramah that they would say Hamoitzi. They would eat one chalas. They wouldn't cut both chalas. They wouldn't eat the both chalas. On Shavuos, the korban that was offered in the Beis Hamikdash on Shavuos, a special korban, was Shtei Alechem. So to make a zecher the Shtei Alechem, Shtei Alechem was brought in the daytime. So at nighttime they probably had only fleishiks. In the daytime they would have both milchiks and fleishiks in the same meal. And if you first had milchiks and you're eating challah with your milchik fingers, so then we're concerned that the grease from the milchiks, from the cheese and the milk, is going to get stuck on the challah. So the leftover challah may not be used when you're going to eat fleishiks. Even a week later, if you have leftover challah, you shouldn't eat leftover challah from the milchiks with a fleishig meal. So that was, they would have first milchiks, not fleishiks, in the same meal, in order to force everyone to eat a little bit from both challahs to make a zechel shtei alechem that was offered on Shavuos. So we mentioned last week that the Zohar writes, in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Zohar. Shulchan Aruch they quote the Zohar that it's not proper to have fleishiks and milchiks in the same meal, even in that order. First have milchiks, then fleishiks. But the meaning for many generations was that they did. So the shaila that the Achrenim discusses, is it proper, if one wants to be choshish for the Zohar, is it proper to bench in the middle of the meal after you have the milchiks, then you're going to bench, then you're going to say, Natilis Yadayim, wash again, say Hamoitzi, and have another meal and have fleishiks just in order to fulfill this minik of having Lecha Mishnah, of having both chalas. Is that proper? It's an issue of Garim Baruch Hashem Tzvicha, because he could have covered Medina de Gemara, could have covered the whole meal with the milchiks, with the fleishiks, with one Natilis Yadayim and one Hamoitzi and one benching. So now you're breaking it up into two. So, but Medina de Gemara, it's not necessary. So is that called Baruch Hashem Tzvicha if you want to be choshish for the Zohar? So some say that Shaila, Adiyun and Achrayim. Achrayim have a machlekes. Is that proper or not?
They do it sometimes when Erev Pesach comes on the Shabbos.
Yeah.
In order to get Shalosh Shulis, so many times they'll just eat this meal and then stop, bench, wait a few minutes, and then eat the third meal.
Right. So that's a discussion, and Achrayim, they discuss, is that called Garim Bracha She'enot Tzvicha? It's Enot Tzvicha Mitam Hilchas Brachas, but it's Tzvicha Mitam Hilchas Shalashudis. I have no other way to fulfill Shalashudis. So maybe that's not a violation of Garim Bracha She'enot Tzvicha. It's Tzvicha in order to fulfill the mitzvah, Shalashudis. So that's a Diyun and Achrayim. Okay, you can be able to Shalashudis with Paris, then you can eat late in the afternoon. So they're telling you if you want to be Machmer to have Challah for Shalashudis also. Many hold that that's the Zohar says that on Shabbos you want to make a Zecher Lechem Aponim. And there were 12 Lechem Aponims. Every Friday they baked 12 Lechem Aponim. They put them six and six, two piles on the Shulchan. So they used to switch them every Shabbos. They would take off the 12 Lechem Aponim that were sitting there the whole week and put on 12 new ones. So you used to eat the 12 Lechem Aponim on Shabbos. You can only eat it Yom V'Layla at Chatzos, like a Kochikochim, like a Korban Mincha. So the Zohar says, when you say Hamoitzi on Shabbos, you should have 12 Chalas on the table. So many Hasidic Rebbes have that practice. They have Lechem Mishnah, and then they have another 10 on the table somewhere. Some of them have some of them have 12 balls in one. They have six.
That's a mistake. You know,
So the Vilna Gaon claims that whatever the Hasidim do by definition is a mistake. So the Vilna Gaon says that they misunderstood the Zohar, that the Zohar never meant to say you should have 12 challahs by every meal. You should have 2 challahs on Friday night, 2 challahs on Shabbos morning, 2 challahs for Shalosh Shudas. So that's 6. And you have to cut both. The Vilna Gaon follows the Rashba. We learned the Gemara Brachas around Daf Mem Aleph on the base. But the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim used to be on Shabbos when he ate the meal, he was Botza Akula Sheirusa. He used to cut everything. What do you mean he cut everything? So Rashi says, instead of taking a chal and cutting off at the edge like this, he wanted to eat a slice of chal cutting off, he would cut in the middle of the chal to show that he plans to eat a lot. even though it looks a little bit Mexica Rapsanusa, it looks like a chaza, it looks like a hag. He's cutting in the middle of challah, but since it's a mocha mitzvah, so it's okay. And the Rashba learns differently. Botza akula sheirusa means he cut both challahs. The Rashba learns that the maskana sagmar is that the challah that you don't cut, if you have lecha mishnah, you only cut one challah, challah you don't cut is like it's still in the bakery. How is that mitzvah to the lecha mishnah? So the Vilna Gaon says he thinks we should follow the Rashba. So he cut both challahs on Friday night. He cut both challahs on Shabbos morning. Alecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas. It's not right to be eitzah just with Paris. He should really have Lecha Mishnah, Vaita Lecha Mishnah. So he cut the two challahs on Shalosh Shudas. So he left with 12 chatzoim. He thinks that it's a misprint in the Zohar. Shouldn't say Yud Beis Challahs. It should say Yud Beis Chatzoim. 12 halves of challahs. 6 full challahs. Okay. So this in Shulchan Aruch, they're recommending this eitzah to divide the meal in half on Shabbos morning, when our Pesach Chali is b'Shabbos, they're not supposed to wash to have a whole meal, min ha-mincha l'mayla. So if you want to have Shalosh Shudas with Peiros, okay, that's a kula. But if you want to have it lechem, so you should divide the morning meal. So that's a shayla. Maybe it's garm bracha shen tzricha. Some achrayim say it's not tzricha mitam hilchas birchas anenin, but it's tzricha mitam mitzvah Shalosh Shudas. And the Ramah recommends maybe you should have a long pause in between. You should go for a walk for half an hour or something, and then gather together, then reconvene and have your Shalosh Shudas later. So you make it into a Hesach Hadas, make a real Hesach Hadas in the middle.
12?
So I can take one comment, cut into four pieces. Good to Taina? I don't know. So you hold like the Hasidim Hasnas. You know, the Hasidish Girsa is correct. Okay. The old Girsa in the Zarya said you have Yud Beis Chalas? Yeah.
Why
would
we
pass those lines,
Rambam, over the
Rabbeinu Tam?
You know, we usually pass like in the
afternoon. I don't know. Our minhag is to wait, Kamoshe Shoah, 6 hours, yeah. So that's, even if you have the Rif and the Rambam learn that Marukva says he waits 6 hours from one meal to the other, that's only a minhag. We assume the Ikar HaDin, the maximum it can be, Midr Rabbanon is 1 hour, and the extra 5 hours is only a minhag. It's an old minhag from the days of the Gemara, but it's only a minhag. That once the Gemara quoted Marukva that he says, I'm like challah bar chamra, I'm like vinegar, as in contrast to my father. My father was the wine. So Shmuel makes such a comment also. Oma Shmuel, I know the homils in another area, I am a challah bar chamra, my father is much greater than me, benegir to what? In business. The Gabia, why the Elo Abba, my father, Habisai Nichse Trezim Nibiyam. My father used to check the fields twice a day, and I only check the fields once a day. Manolo Sayarna Elachoda Zimna. What's the big Givaldige Maila that my father was a holy tzaddik and he used to check the fields twice a day? What's the big deal? Why should he check the fields? Shmuel Tamei, this is Shmuel holds it, that's a Midas Chasidus, that's the more correct thing to do. Is to check the business more often, check the fields more often. The Yom HaShmuel, Man Desai Nichsei, Kol Yom, whoever checks his fields every single day, the more you check, Mashkach Istira. He will find coins. He will get rich. In other words, he'll see whenever there's a problem with the business, he'll be able to catch it right away. If you don't keep on checking the business or the field every day or twice a day, so something can go wrong, and you won't notice it till way later, and then you will have suffered a tremendous loss. So Shmuel Taka says he only checked once a day, he was busy learning. Avuah d'Shmuel was also a learned person. Yeah. Gemara quotes, Avuah d'Shmuel was also a Talmid Chacham, but Shmuel was a bigger Talmid Chacham. That's why. The Gemara says the bracha is only chal on a dover ha mechusa minu ayin ba'asamecha dover ha mechusa minu ayin. That means if you count it, if you count how much profit you made already, so then it's not going to get bigger. Because man, you don't count it, there's a possibility that it'll get bigger, that you'll be blessed.
Did you learn this Gemara lately?
I don't know. Whoever learns chulin, only rabbis learn chulin. Yeah. Abai habisan nichse kol yom of yom. Abai used to check his field every single day. Yom echad poga barise, one fine day, he sees one of the farmhands who's walking off. He's ready to gamble a whole pile full of stuff, full of food that grew from there. The dori pascha da oifi. What is this pascha da oifi? What does Rashi say? Masri eitzim shayagav, a big pile full of branches. Full of wood that he was going to steal. Amalei hani lahecha, where are you going? What are you walking off with? So he says, oh, I'm about to bring it to your house. The Ganav tells him, Elias is about to bring it to your house. So he says, the rabbis already tipped us off that we should check the business every day to make sure that the workers don't walk off with all the goods. Amalei, he says, Hani Lech, where are you going with the pile of wood? Amalei, the Beimar, I'm bringing it to your house. Amalei, Sabai tells the worker, the rabbis already warned us that we should check the business every day to make sure that no one walks away with any of our stuff. Rabasi Havisai Nichse Kol Yom, he used to check his business every single day. He had a field, he used to check every day. And he was wondering, Oma Hechanin and Kolhani is steered the Mar Shmuel. Shmuel, the Gizak, that whoever checks the business every single day is going to be blessed with a lot of money, and he'll be avoiding a big Hepsid Merube. He says, nothing ever came, it's just a bitl's man. What am I wasting my time? Yom Echad, one fine day, Chozit Sinor, the Bitka Be'are. He saw that there was a flood, was about some kind of a pipe at Sinor broke, and it was going to flood his whole field, and it was going to ruin all the crops, everything that was growing. Shakle le glima, he took off his jacket, his glima, his kapote, whatever, karche, and he wrapped it up, and oisve begava, and he plugged it, he stuck it into the pipe in order to block the water from flooding the whole field. Roma Kola, he started to scream, I need help. So all the people from the neighboring farms heard him scream, and they all came and helped. Osu inshi sachrua, and they plugged up, they blocked up the pipe that burst, so it didn't flood his field. So then he made a comment, Omar, then he said, Ashkachtinu l'kul istirid by Shmuel. Now I found all the coins. Shmuel said, whoever will check his field every day will make a lot of money. He says, now it seems that it paid off, because he checked that day. So it worked out good for him. Okay. Huh? No, it says he used to go every day, and he was wondering, where's all the money that Shmuel said I'm supposed to? So once it paid off, so that was Kedai. There's a din, you have to wash maim rishayin, and you have to wash until it's yadayim before you eat bread. It's a takonim with the rabbanon. So, and when you're about to bench, you have to wash maim achrayinim. So he says, maim rishayinim is a mitzvah, or maim achrayinim is a chayva, more of an obligation. Chayva means more of an obligation than a mitzvah. How can he say that? The Brisa puts them both together. There's a Brisa that reads, Maim Rishonim Achronim Chayva. They're both the same level of Chayva. Emtzoyim Rishus, in the middle of the meal, in between eating one course and the other, so that's optional. If you want to wash your hands, you may. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So the Gemara effect, well, I'm going to have to discuss that. Well, what's the Midas Chassidus to wash in the middle of the meal? So the Gemara asked Akasha, how can the Amora Ravidi Barovin says in Nemravitz Barashion, there's a difference between Maim Rishayim before the meal is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanim. Maim Achrayim is more of a chayva, more of an obligation. The Brisa says Maim Rishayim Achrayim are both a chayva. And for the Gemara, mitzvah legabi Rishus chayva korilei. That's not a stira on what he said. There are three different levels. Maim Achrayim is more of a chayva. Maim Rishayim is a mitzvah as opposed to Maim Emtzoyim, in between one course and the other, that's only Rishus. So the Brisa refers to Maim Rishayim and Maim Achrayim as a chayva, because in contrast to the Maim Emtzoyim, in between one course and the other, that you're not mechuyev at all. So these two, you are mechuyev. But there is a distinction between Maim Rishayim and Maim Achrayim. Maim Achrayim is more of an obligation than Maim Rishayim. The Maim Nafkamina, that's more of an obligation. What does it mean? So Tosfos on the side quotes from the Gemara in Erevin, the end of the first parak, where it says, Erevin in parentheses, Daf Yud Zayin. So Rabbi Natam just quotes the Gemara. Vam Rabbi Natam, the Nafkamina, Linyam, Lachemes, Oshus. There's a Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Erevin. The Mishnah is, we learned it together. Abo Advarim Pachu Bamachne. The Tanoim gave four kulis when there's a battalion, a group of Jewish soldiers together. That was a machlokes in the Yerushalmi, how many soldiers that you have together that it should be considered a machne Yisrael. So the Yerushalmi has one opinion, 10,000, and one opinion, at this 1,000. And the Chazon Ish says, based on the Magen Mishnah, we pass in 10, a minion. Just like a Dovisha Bigdusha, to say Kaddish Kedusha Boch, you need a minion, machne Elikim. So here also by the soldiers, if you have 10 Fruma soldiers who would be starving to a minion, and they're close enough, if they're too far away, they're not mitzdarfen to a minion, so it's not called a machna. If you have 10 fruma soldiers who would be able to constitute a minion to say a dovish a big dusha, then it's considered a machna because ke Hashem alakecha misalach bekerav machanecha lahatzilecha v'los esavecha biyadecha, because the Shechina is there. Just like we say kol be'asora Shechinta Sharia, when you have 10 Jews, 10 Jews are doing what? Let's Rav Soloveitchik can say 10 Jews reading the Morgen Shanal. Kol be'asora Shechinta Sharia, that means 10 Jews who want to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So then there's going to be Shechinta Sharia, there'll be Hashua Sashchina. So if you have 10 Jews who are preparing to wage a war, so the pasuk promises Hashem alkech misalach mekerav machanecha, has to be a machane. If you have 1 or 2 or 6 or 8 soldiers, that's called a machane. You have to have a certain minimum of soldiers. So the Yerushalmi has the 3 opinions. Chazanis thinks that we follow the 3rd opinion. Rabbi Nachman on the side of the Gemara in Erev and Yud Zayin quotes the 3 opinions from the Yerushalmi. The Magen Mishnah writes that he thinks we pass content. And the Chazanis says it's like a dovish abigdusha, just like 10 people who want to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, the Shechina will be there. So the pasuk says in Chumash, Hashem alakecha misalach v'kerav machanecha. You have a machne Yisrael, so the Shechina is there.
Machne synonymous with Eda.
Eda, right? Has to be. The Chazon Ish writes it has to be a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote that apparently when they had the Etzel and the Lechi who are fighting to form a Medina. So he says you don't yet have a Yiddish Medina. Has to be a machane, it has to be an army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Even if the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, which they claim, I think, but that's not Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael is a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Has to be ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So if such a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, even if the Rav the Avodah Zarah, as long as the Avodah Zarah is a Yiddish Avodah Zarah. No, because there were kings in the Tanakh who forced everybody to worship Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says the first sugya in Rosh Hashanah, there's a concept of Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Umas Ha'olam. So the Gemara says all these kings in Tanakh, it's a difference halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says all the kings in Tanakh, that's all Malchus Yisrael, even though they're Avodah Zarah. So the Yishalmi says, why? Because it was Yodua, those were Yiddish Avodah Zarah. It wasn't Goyish Avodah Zarah. Only the Jews worshipped those Avodah Zarah. So if it's a Malchus Yisrael, the perception is that it's a Jewish government like today. The perception clearly is, even if Ben Gurion claimed to be an atheist, probably a liar. Ben Gurion probably not an atheist. He was quoting Psukim from Tanakh. Even if he was an atheist, but he was quoting from the Tanakh. And even if the government in Israel is not religious, anti-religious, whatever, no one is happy with the government in Israel. But the perception certainly is that it's a Jewish government. That's why there's so much. That's why all the Arabs are upset. That's why the Russians were upset for so long. Because all the whole world is anti-Semitic, so they're all against Medina Yisrael. The perception clearly is that it's a Jewish Medina, so that's called Malchus Yisrael. So this halacha, that's what the Chazon Ish says. You don't yet have a Medina. If you already have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that government sponsors a Jewish army, then you have this halacha. Then you have the dinim in Chumash that you have to be careful from Tzoya and Meiraglaim and Erva. The Shechina promises to be there with them if it's a Machne Yisrael. Machne Yisrael means a Jewish army, minimum of 10 people who are royally hitzdarf to a minion, and they're together within a certain proximity. Chazon Ish has the Chiddush Shivim Amah v'Shiraim. That's a big Chiddush. So then they have a status of a Machne Yisrael. So the Mishnah has Abo Advarim, there are 4 kulas.
Is that only in Eretz Yisrael, or let's say the Khazars or something like that? They have a Jewish Medina, the Jewish king, would they be?
No, it has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I said the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, but she doesn't rule over Eretz Yisrael. It has to be a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, sponsors an army, even if the army is in Chutz Lartz. But there has to be an army sponsored by a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Even if the Jewish government is not from, even if they're anti-religious, even if they force everyone to worship Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah talks about Artachshasto. Yeah. He's in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is not really a separate book. Ezra Nehemiah is one book, the Gemara says, in the end of Sanhedrin. But we use the Christian Bible all the time. So in the Christian Bible, they made it that Ezra and Nehemiah are 2 books. Our tradition has it, there are only Chof Dalet Zvarim in the Kisuk, 24 Zvarim. So Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis is only one. Malachim Beis is only one. Divrei Yom Beis is only one. And Ezra Nehemiah is only one. Otherwise, you would have had 28 Svarim. These 4 are divided into 2. So the 24 Svarim. The Chidor has a whole discussion The effect Akasha, all of a sudden he wakes up. How come Ezra Nechemi by Yasa Tusvarim? Why does he wake up and Ezra Nechemi? Why does he ask on Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis, Dibei Yama Aleph, Dibei Yama Beis? The answer is we're following the Christian Bible. So the Ezra Nechemi is also, it's a Christian Bible, and our Tanakh is supposed to be one Sefer, not supposed to be two Svarim. So it's very strange that the Chidor has a running commentary on Yankov. So he, Efrekt Akasha, he wakes up on Ezra Nechemiah. So he answers, the Gemara says, why wasn't Nechemiah Zoiche that the Sefer should be Nikra al Shmo? Ezra is called Sefer Ezra. How come Nechemiah wasn't Zoiche that the Sefer is called Sefer Nechemiah? And for the Gemara, because he's bragging too much. Because Nechemiah, every 10, 20 lines, as Nechemiah says, Zochru li alakai l'toiva. The Rabbanu Shalom Zal, it's farechenen famir al tzaschus. That I did this and I did that. He's always bragging about this chusim that he has. He deserves to be recognized by the Rebbeinu Shalom Zochor Li L'Kai L'Toiva. So that's why, because Hechzik Toiva Li'atzmo, that's why he was punished. So the Chidol quotes from Sam Mekubal, he suffered already enough from the days of Nechemiah till the 1700s. The Chidol lived in the 1700s. Shein Genuk, he suffered enough. So now Shein already had his kapara. So now we can use Nechemiah as a separate book. So what kind of a funny answer? It's not always gehalten. It's not correct. If you write all the Kisvei HaKodesh in one krach, so you have to have a few lines like in the Chumash, in Chamisha Chumash Torah. So you have four blank lines between Bereishis and Shmos, and four blank lines between Shmos and Vayikra and so on. And if you write the Tehillim, Mishlei, Yev, Sherashim, Rus, Kohelis, all in one klav, so you have to leave, I don't know if it's four lines, I think it's three lines. You have to look in the Gemara and Bava Basra, you have to leave a number of lines blank in between the first Sefer and the second Sefer, between the second Sefer and the third Sefer. You're not supposed to leave blank lines in between Ezra and Nechemiah. It's one Sefer. It didn't change in the 1700s. It's a very strange Chidah. He quotes Sam Mekubal, he says, Nechemiah suffered a lot, enough already, so he already had his kapara, so now he deserves to have the Sefer Nikra al Shmo. The Pashto says, and the Chem is not a separate Sefer. So getting back again. So the Mishnah in Erevin says, Abo Advarim Patro Bamachna, that the, I was talking about Artachshasta, yeah. Artachshasta was the son of Ahasuerus. That's the opening Rashi in the book of Nehemiah, as we call it, Sefer Nehemiah. So the first Rashi writes, Artachshasta was the son of Ahasuerus from Esther Hamalka. So his mother was Jewish, so he was Jewish. But he had no Jewish education. She didn't send him to Cheder. He didn't go to Ramaz. He didn't have anything. He was a Goy Gomer. He was brought up like a Goy. So the Gemara says, when he took over, the father, Ahasuerus, was a Goy. So he was the king of Sheva V'Yesef Meir Medina, and Eretz Yisrael happened to be in the middle of Sheva V'Yesef Meir Medina. At Chatzia Malchus, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash was in the middle. That's how the Gemara says. So when the father died, then Artachshasta took over. So did that have a din of Malchus Yisrael? Bimikre happened to be a Jewish king. He happened to be ruling over Eretz Yisrael. But he was really ruling, over the whole Middle East over there, 127 Medina. So the Gemara has a stira. In the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Gemara has a stira. Some psukim in Tanakh seem to imply that he had the din of Malchus Yisrael. And other psukim seem to imply he had a din of Malchus Umas Olam. And for the Gemara, the early years, when he was still under the influence of the old lady, of his mother, she said, Zinda Lemaina, you're Jewish, I'm Jewish, we're all Jewish, and you're the Jewish king, and she's the one, that's how the Malbim Meterb, she's the one who encouraged him to give money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to rebuild Yerushalayim. So when he was under the influence of his mother, it meant something to him that he's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael, so his government had a din of Malchus Yisrael. And Lacha Shehechmitz, probably after the mother passed away, and it didn't mean anything to him any longer that they didn't keep anything, and there wasn't even a perception that it was a Jewish government. That today in Eretz the perception clearly is, everybody agrees they're not religious, the government is not religious. Everybody agrees that it's a Jewish government. It's clearly a Jewish government. It's a Jewish country. There's no doubt about it. But under Artachshasta, after the mother passed away and he was no longer under her influence. So Lacha Shehechmetz, after he became sour, like over here, Chalabach Amra, after he turned into Chaymetz, and it didn't mean anything to him, so it's just Bimikre. It happened, an accident of history, that he happened to be Jewish and happened to be ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So then it was known as Malchus Umas Olam. But Kol Zman, that it meant something to him, and there was such a perception, it's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael, so then it had the din of Malchus Yisrael. So again, so the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Erev, the last daf in the first parak in Erev, has there were four kulas, abad dvarim patur b'machne. So one of them is Netilas Yadayim. They don't have unlimited supply of water. They have to schlep all the containers of water with them. So they were makel that you don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. The whole din of Netilas Yadayim is only with the Rabbanon. So b'shas hamelchama were makel that you don't have to wash. Zog di gemara lo shana wella, that kula that the Mishnah says the soldiers in the army don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim, then it goes amayim rishayim, they don't have to wash. But amayim achrayim is the chasakana. If you rub into your eyes the melach sedayim is, Tosfos is going to quote that two Gemaras have two different reasons. So our Gemara says the reason why you need Mayim Achrayim is because Melech Sedomis, there's hardly any. If you have a ton of salt, you'll have one or two specks of Melech Sedomis in the whole thing, but that's all you need to rub a little Melech Sedomis into your eyes, and it'll be a sakana. So the Gemara says there in Erevim, the soldiers in the army, we can be make a lenient that they don't have to wash until the Yadayim before they eat bread. But my machem, they're not going to wash. They won't be able to see where to shoot. They'll be blinded. It'll call them a hezek. So Rabbi Natam says that's what the Gemara is driving at. My rishonim is a mitzvah, but my machem is more of an obligation. You must, even if you're in the army and we're make a land. My rishonim, my machem is a suffix sakon. That's how the Rabbi Natam says. Chamira sakanta meisur. Then Tosis quotes a few lines later, five lines from the bottom, the Bahalochas Gedoilas Piresh, the Bahag claims that the term Chayva has a technical connotation to it. It means Asanishke Mitzvah, and therefore you don't say Birchas HaMitzvah. We recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when we perform either a Mitzvah Deraisa or a Mitzvah Derabbanan. But sometimes you have to do something, you have to do it, but it's not really a Mitzvah. Tosis gives a mashal. The last line of Tosfos. Let's say you treba the flesh, you remove the chalev and the gid anosher from the flesh. So do you say a bracha when you do nikar hachalev, nikar agid, when you salt meat to remove the dam? You're not allowed to eat the flesh till you salt it. So when you salt the meat, is that a mitzvah? It's an ishke mitzvah. It's a matir. So you don't say a bracha when you salt the meat. There's certain times when you have to perform some action, but that's neither a mitzvah man atar nor a mitzvah in the rabbana. So you don't say a bracha. So this Halachas Gedola says you're not allowed to do anything that's detrimental to your health. So if you're going to rub your eyes, if you're not going to wash Mayim Achrayim, you're going to rub your eyes, that may cause you a hezek in the rear. So you mainly have to wash Mayim Achrayim, but you can't really say that it's a mitzvah. Mayim Achrayim is a mitzvah, but Mayim Achrayim is nishkin mitzvah. It's for health purposes. You don't say a bracha. Let's say a person is about to eat kosher food. So he says shahakol. Then he says hashekedushar b'mitzvah. So it's funny. Shelo lechol macholas asuras. A person is about to shave with a shaver. So he says hashekedushar b'mitzvah. It's funny. Shelo legalech b'tar. So the Rosh in the beginning of Ksuba says you never say a bracha on a negative. You never say a bracha when you're going to avoid violation of an aver. The Rosh says it on the Gemara. The Nusach when you get married under the chuppah you say v'tzivano al ha'arayis. The Rabbanu Shalom commanded us not to marry relatives. Vasalanas arusas. So the Rosh works on that. What kind of a funny bracha is that? It's a very strange bracha. But normally you don't say a bracha when you're going to do something. So when you trade with the flesh, that's not a mitzvah. You don't want to violate the avera of eating chelev egid. When you salt the flesh, you don't want to violate the avera of eating the dam. So you have to take out the dam. You have to salt it. But that per se is not a mitzvah. So here also, there's a dinushmartem v'nushmartem yodel nafsh esechem. The Gemara says in brachas, Shchita is a good question. Why do you say bracha on Shchita? Right. That's a very good question. So the Rambam writes that Shchita is a mitzvah. So the Rambam lists off the 613 mitzvahs, so the 248 mitzvahs essay, he counts Shchita. So the Ravid is masik. What's for a mitzvah? Why is Shchita a mitzvah? Shchita is a matir. So there's a question, does the Rambam disagree? That's a big machleka. So the Kesef Mishnah always defends the Rambam from all the Hasagas Ravid. And not only is there Kesef Mishnah on the Mishnah Torah, there's Kesef Mishnah on the Sefer HaMitzvahs also. There's Hasagas HaRavid on the Sefer HaMitzvahs also. Except that they didn't, usually in the Rambam, they have the Ravid every page, every other page, there's a little Hasagas HaRavid. And the Sefer HaMitzvahs, they put all the 10 Hasagas HaRavid on one page. Before the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs begins, they put all the 10 Hasagas. So one of the Hasagas HaRavid, they have the Ramban, goes as every other page, as the Ramban has a Hasaga. And they put all the Ravid's Hasagas on the first page. So the Ravid is masik on this Rambam. Why did the Rambam count Shechita as a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. Just if you don't shecht, it'll be an avela. You'll be in violation of the isa nevela. So the Kesem Mishnah comes always to defend the Rambam. So he says, no, the Rambam holds that it's taka mitzvah to shecht. So how do we ever, if you're interested in eating flesh, then it's a mitzvah you should shecht. So we don't shecht. We always buy the flesh, some shechet somewhere in the world, shechted the chicken or the flesh. We don't do the mitzvah. So Rab Chaim Balin, the son of the Netziv, has in the alumni of Yeshivas, Rab Chaim Balin, published originally one volume, then I think now it's two or three volumes, collected letters and shuvas by Rab Chaim Balin, the son of the Netziv. So he has in one of the letters, someone gave this suggestion, that when the shechet in Odessa, wherever, the shechet in Warsaw, Shechts the Behemoth, he has in mind, he's doing the Shechita as a shliach of all of the people who want to eat this flesh. So when you decide, and they keep the flesh in the freezer, so you decide a month or two later you're going to eat this flesh, so it's a gloy milsalem afre, you were yoitz in the mitzvah of Shechita, because the Shechet represented you as the shliach when he shechted the Behemoth. Rab Chaim Berlin quotes this, and he laughs at it. He thinks that it's a joke. He thinks that it's ridiculous. And he thinks the whole Kesem Mishnah is not correct. He thinks the Rambam didn't mean to say not like the Ravid. The Ravid taina shechita is not a mitzvah. The Rambam is maskim is not a mitzvah. Shechita is a matir. How come he say a bracha is a good question? Sometimes he say a bracha on a matir when you make an erev echatzeris. It's not a mitzvah to make an erev echatzeris. You say a bracha when you make an erev. It's a matir. So there's usually we have a klal. Let's say in Gittin, every so often you have Lechatchila the get should have been written like this, and B'diyevet, if you wrote it like that, it's also good. So Taisa says, whenever you have a din that Lechatchila should be like this, but B'diyevet, it's good without that. So Taisa writes that that's a dead giveaway that the whole din is only with the Rabbanon. If it would have been their ISIS, how can you say Lechatchila you should have done like this, B'diyevet, not? Unless it's a mitzvah. Taisa said, let's say it's a mitzvah when you bring a Kovin Chattis to be Zerk the Dam on Arba Karnas on Mizbeach. But if you didn't do this week on all four, you did on one, but you yotze. Well, lechatchila, it's a mitzvah to do lulav. Tzorech eged lechatchila. You should tie around the hadasim, the arovis, in the lulav. And but if you didn't do an eged, so we paskin the lulav ain't a tzorech eged, but you yotze. So Tosfos says, when it comes to a difference between a mitzvah sesa and an avera, when it comes to a mitzvah sesa, he said there's such a thing as a mitzvah bishlei musa and a mitzvah shalo bishlei musa. Let's say chalitza. When a man dies, a married man dies, leaving no children, leaving no descendants. So if he has a surviving brother, the brother has to do chalitza. So lechatchila you have to have chalitza, that the Yavama should take off the right shoe from the right foot, and then she should spit on the floor in front of him, and they should both recite the psukim back and forth that he's supposed to say. And b'di'eved, there are different opinions in Tanoim. We pass in b'di'eved, the only thing that's ma'akev is the chalitza. The rikika is not mi'akev, and the kriyas psukim is not mi'akev. So it's not miyaked b'diyevid what he needed for lechatchila. The Chumash says so. But what he needed...
But they have to have the ability to do it.
Okay.
In other words, if they don't do it, but he could have done it.
Right. So Taisa says, so why do you need it lechatchila if it's not miyaked b'diyevid? So Taisa says, no, chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. If it would have been a matir, it wouldn't make sense. Why do you need it lechatchila? It's mutter b'diyevid without it. It's mutter lechatchila without it.
Make a bracha if it's a mitzvah, make a bracha.
We don't say a bracha. On chalitza, it's a good question. Why don't we say bracha? So the Rishonim talk about it. The Ravid, the famous Ravid, whom we know, is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, sent a shaila to an unknown figure, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat. The Miri quotes him every so often. Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat. He was apparently greater than the Ravid in his generation. He asked him, what's the secret? How come on chalitza you don't say bracha? Some mitzvahs you do say bracha, some you don't. And sometimes you say al, and sometimes you say le. Al natila sedayim and lahaniach tefillin. Okay, so that's one of the answers that he gives. That since it's the more correct mitzvah is to do the yibum, and chalitza you should never do chalitza. You're really supposed to yibum. So he said that's the reason why you don't say a bracha, right? He talks about it. Which mitzvahs do you say a bracha? Which mitzvahs do you not say a bracha? That's an issue, right? So Tosfos has this klal that. And the arises, it only makes sense to say lechatchilin b'diyevid if it's a mitzvah. So chalitza is a mitzvah, and zrikas hadam on the mizbech is a mitzvah, and lulav is a mitzvah. So you can say a mitzvah b'shlei musa should be done like this. And if you did it not like that, missing a little bit, let's say the mitzvah b'shlei musa is to have tcheles vilavon. And we paskin if you only have tcheles, you only have lavan, so b'di'evad yoytze, an incomplete mitzvah. So there you have a mitzvah deraisa that should have been done b'shleimusa like so, and b'di'evad if you did b'shelo b'shleimusa you would be yoytze. So in the area of a mitzvah, it makes sense to have a lachatchila b'di'evad. But if you're talking about an isa the heter, an iser, let's say you're not allowed to cook in a trefa pot, even though the trefa pot hasn't been used for trefas in the last 24 hours. That's what we call a klisha ene ben yoma. It hasn't been used in the last 24 hours for hot trefas. But b'di'evad, if you cook kosher food in a trefa pot that's ene ben yoma, it wouldn't become tref. So why is it also lachatchila? So that's clearly from the Gemara. That's only b'di'rabbanan. That doesn't make sense on the level of deraisa. That lachatchila it's also b'di'evad is mutter. So whenever you have in the area of iser, lachatchila something is also, but b'di'evad it doesn't also, b'di'evad it's mutter, that's a dead giveaway that the whole din is only b'di'rabbanan. A get is nishke mitzvah to write a get. It's a hidden mitzvah to write the get on a golden tablet.
It's a matir.
Right. So that's the question. The Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam counted as a mitzvah. The Rambam really meant it. So the Shitasa, the Kesef Mishnah writes in the beginning of Hilchas Shchita, the Gemara talks about lechatchilas in Shchita. Lechatchila, when you shecht the bird, you should really shecht both simonim. And b'di'evad, if you shecht the kona alone or the veshet alone, it's good. And lechatchila, you should shecht kol ha-simon. And b'di'evad, if you shecht roiv of the simon, roiv of the kona, roiv of the veshet, it's good. So that's the Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Chulin. First daf in the second parak. Right, Ruba Kukuloi. So the Gemara says, but l'chatchili she really shecht both the kona and the veshet and the bird, and l'chatchili you shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukuloi. You should shecht kol ha-simen. So that's a machlokes, Rashi and Taisus and Chav Zayna Manav, the first Gemara in the second Perek in Chulin. Is that a l'chatchila deraisa? Is that a l'chatchila derabbanan? How can it be a l'chatchila deraisa? If you say that in the area of a matir, it doesn't make sense to have a l'chatchila deraisa. So those Rishonim hold that that's a lachatchila deraisa, obviously hold that shechita is a mitzvah. So the Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam is lishitasa. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts shechita as a mitzvah. So lishitasa, the Rambam can hold that this is a lachatchila deraisa. If the Rambam would have held like the Raiva that shechita is only a matir, so the Kesef Mishnah says it wouldn't make sense that the Rambam holds that this is deraisa. The Rambam seems to hold that this is a lachatchila deraisa. That's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosis, whether these lachatchilas on Chav Zayin Amanav doesn't make sense to talk about a lachatchila deraisa in the area of shechita. So the answer is only if it's a mitzvah, it's only a matir, it doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila deraisa. So this is what the Bahag has. There's a Gemara in Brachas tells a story that one of the Tanoim was davening, and the Goyisha policeman came over and he started to talk to him in the middle, and he wasn't mafsik. And then, after he finished davening, then the Goyish policeman said to him, "You're stupid. I could have killed you." And it says in your Bible, "Menishmartem yodon avshesechem." You have to be careful not to do anything that will be detrimental to your health. So he said, Tana said, "I knew you weren't going to kill me." He gave it there. The din is, whenever there's a suffix sakana, you are mafsik in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. If you have something annoying you, you have a mouse jumping on your toes, or a chicken, or a turkey jumping around, you're not supposed to be mafsik in the Shemana Esrei. If you have a snake crawling up your leg, if it's not a poisonous snake, so you're supposed to continue davening Shemana Esrei. But if it's a real suffix sakana, then you are mafsik in the middle. So the Nochri told the Tana, it says in your Bible, Menishmartem Yodon Nafshesechem. So the commentaries point out, the Marshon and the others point out, that pasuk really says, it doesn't say, watch out for your good health. It says, v'nishmata me'od ha'nafshasechem kiloi reisim kol t'muna v'yom dibra shamim bochem b'har Sinai. You should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. That's the context of that pasuk. It doesn't go on taking good care of your health. So the Nochri said like that. So I think the Marshon says on that Gemara Brachas, that's the way the Nochri interpreted the pasuk, v'nishmata me'od ha'nafshasechem, but that's not really what it means. But you look in the Rambam quotes that pasuk, v'nishmata me'od ha'nafshasechem, that the Nochri's pshat is a correct pshat. The pshuto shel mikra means you should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. Don't ruin your neshama by worshiping Avodah Zarah, because when the Gilui Shechina took place at HaSinai, ki lo reisim kol t'muna b'yom dibra Hashem imachem ba'anan, Mitach Anan Bahar, and so on. And as an additional level of interpretation, the pasuk means you should be careful not to do something that's detrimental to your health. So the Tosis quotes here from the Halachas Gedolos washing my mishainim is a mitzvah midirabon. That's why we say a mitzvah, and then you say a bracha. But washing my machrainim, that's not a mitzvah. That's in order to avoid violation of the aveira b'nishmarta miyoda nafshel sechem. So he says, Moshe l'madava daima, like salting the flesh and like trebering the flesh to remove the chelev and the gid anoshe in the dam, that per se is not a mitzvah. You're doing in order to avoid violation of an aveira. So that's, you don't say a bracha when you're about to shave with an electric shave. You don't say a bracha when you're about to eat kosher food. Right. Right. So the Yerushalmi is of the opinion that even though you're only yotze the mitzvah when you sit in the sukkah, but since the asiyas ha-sukkah, there's a din of tasu v'leim and ha-asui, so the asiyas ha-sukkah, constructing the sukkah, is what we call a hechsha mitzvah ha-kosa ba-toyro. So the Yerushalmi holds that warrants a bracha. The Yerushalmi will hold like the opinion of the Gemara. The Gemara Menachos has an opinion. When you tie tzitzis on a beged, so you're not yotze the mitzvah yet. The Gemara has one opinion that if I have a talus in the drawer and I'm not wearing it yet, I'm saving the talus after the chasana. So one opinion in the Gemara is that klei kufsa achayov mitzitzis. The beged that's sitting in the drawer, an arba kamfa that's sitting in the drawer, you have to put on tzitzis. So according to that opinion, even though you're not wearing the beged. So according to that opinion, when you tie on tzitzis on the beged, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. You have tzitzis on the beged, so you say bracha ala siyas tzitzis. The Gemara says we don't paskin like that. We paskin tzitzis, it's chayvus gavra. It's not a chayvus mona. It's not that the beged is mukhayiv even when you're not wearing it. You're only mukhayiv to have tzitzis when you're wearing the garment. So klei kufsa, the arba kamfas, and the drawer is not chayiv in tzitzis. So therefore the Gemara comes to the conclusion, when you tie the tzitzis in the beged, you should not say a bracha. It'll be a bracha levat hashanat. Yerushalmi holds, even if tzitzis is only chayvus gavra, even though when you tie the tzitzis on the beged, you're not yotzi any mitzvah yet. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. But the Yerushalmi holds that you should say a bracha. Yerushalmi quotes Tanoim like that. You should say a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah, hakasa batorah. If you cut off the lulav and the esek from the tree, that's also a hechsher mitzvah. You want to be able to hold the lulav and the esek, you don't say a bracha. That's a hechsher mitzvah, she'ena ksuva batorah. That doesn't say in the Chumash, you have to cut it off from the tree. It's self-understood. Well, kachta mechem, you can't hold it because if it's attached to the tree, you're not yotzi. Even though you hold the esrog and the lulav, but if it's attached to the tree, it's a beferish gemara that you're not yotze. You have to only hold it after it's detached. But there is no pasuk in Chumash that says that you have to detach it. It's self-understood. But this, the constructing of the sukkah, so the Torah Shabbat interprets the pasuk, chag ha-sukkah stas alecho, that it goes on asiyas ha-sukkah. And we also have tzitzis ha-kamfi v'idem, says, tying on the tzitzis is a hechsha mitzvah kosa batara. So the Yerushalmi holds that you do say a bracha, even though it's not the key of my mitzvah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah, a kosa batur. And the Bavli paskins.
Kiddushin, Rabbi, is a hechsher mitzvah? Kiddushin?
Kiddushin is a question. The Rambam counts as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married, one mitzvah to have children.
Yeah, well,
so the Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah b'fnei yatzma. And the
one
Rosh.
Right,
and the Rosh there in the Ksubas holds that it's not. There is no such mitzvah to get married. It's a mitzvah to have children.
So it's a
hechsher
mitzvah.
It's a hechsher mitzvah. That's what the Rosh discusses. Why do you say a bracha? According to the Rambam, we understand why. Because it's a mitzvah.
It's a negative.
That's a question. How come you have such a strange bracha? Tzivonu alo arayis. How do you say a bracha not to violate Gili arayis? The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he retranslates the word. Poshishat, tzivonu alo arayis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us not to violate Gili arayis. That's the Poshib Shat. So the Chasam Sofer quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that the two kruvim were hugging each other, kimar ish v'lev yasa, like a husband hugs his wife. The two kruvim on top of the oren are supposed to represent, one is supposed to represent Knesset Yisrael, the other one is supposed to represent the Rabbanu Shalom. So they were hugging each other like a husband hugs his wife. So he says, the Chasam Sofer says, maybe it's tongue in cheek, I don't know, but that's what he writes in the tshuva. He says, it's Ivan al ha'arayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to hug our wives. That's the pshat. Alha arayas. Arayas means the mitzvah to hug your wife. If she's tahara. Okay. If she's tahara.
Another one is
tefilas kelim. Tefilas kelim probably is a mitzvah. Yeah, tefilas. Hagola, you mean. If you have a trefikli, you have to kashu it, so we don't say a bracha. But tefilas kelim in a mikveh, that is a mitzvah. That's taka mitzvah, so we say a bracha. It's a machlekes and rishayim, whether that. The Gemara figures it out from a pasuk. So that's a machlekes. Is it a real din d'oraisa, or is it only an asmachta mid the rabbanon? But it's either a mitzvah and a Torah mitzvah and the rabbanon. But the kasha treifa kelim, that's not a mitzvah. So takam when you do hagola, no bracha is recited. So the Bahag has this chiddush, and the Rambam quotes the Bahag lalocha. When you wash mayim achronim, a bracha is not recited, because you're not really fulfilling a mitzvah. You're doing something in order to avoid violation of making a sakana. Yes, so that's not an essay. That's a lois essay. In Ishmarta Miyod, whenever it says Yishama Pen V'yal, it means that it's a lois essay. So in Ishmarta Miyod, the Nafshe Secha means don't violate the avera of causing something that'll be detrimental to your health. So when a person washes mayim achronim, a person takes care of his good health, he's not really fulfilling a mitzvah, he's avoiding violation of an avera. It's an avera to do something that's detrimental to your health.
So why is it that nowadays we're much more mindful on mayim achronim?
That's what Tosis discusses. Tosis says that they didn't wash mayim achronim. So Tosis says there are two reasons for mayim achronim. The Gemara here in Chulin, Kofei Mebeis, says that the reason why they instituted mayim achronim, where is it? About 10 lines from the top. It has an asterisk, and it says, Om Rab Yudah Brei de Rab Chia. When it says on the left-hand margin, Erevin Yud Zayin Am Beis Ayin Shom. So the Gemara about 10 lines from the top says, Om Rab Yudah Brei de Rab Chia Mepnei Ma Om Rab Mayim Achronim Chayvo. Why is it such a chiyuv more important than mayim rishonim? So the Gemara answers, Shemelch Sodomus Yesh, Shemesame Soinayim. And if you rub it in your eyes, it'll be a sakana. So according to that explanation, it has nothing to do with benching. You should wash mayim achronim. Let's say you didn't have any water to wash mayim achronim, and you bench and up, you benched. There's still an inyan to wash mayim achronim. If you get mayim achronim later on, you wash. Then Tosis on Amud Aleph quotes from the Gemara in Brachas, this long Tosis, Mayim Rishonim. So they say, look in Brachas, Daf Nun Gimel, where the Gemara has an asmachta on a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'his kadishtem, V'yisen kedoshim. So the Gemara has a drasha, V'his kadishtem, you should act in a sanctified fashion, Eilu, Mayim Rishonim. V'yisen kedoshim, Eilu, Mayim Achronim. So Tosis says, what? It's a real pshat in the pasuk. It's only an asmachta. The whole Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, everything is only midirabbanan. It's not really minatur. Mayim achronim, if it's a real sakon, it's a din min haTorah, okay. But mayim rishonim clearly is only an asmachta mid rabban. So Tosis then says, how come we don't, and then the Gemara says, and the reason why you need mayim achronim, the Gemara says, Tosis quotes it later, the reason why you need mayim achronim is because, kishem shem mezuham pasul lahakrove, kach yedai mezuham as psulus libracha. Just like if you have a kohen who's not a balmum, kohen is not a balmum, but he looks old. He's so old. He looks awful. So strictly speaking, he has all the fingers, he has all his toes, everything is there. Has no cut on his lips. He's nishkin balmum, but he's a mezuam. He looks awful. Or you have, let's say, a korban. So if a korban is a balmum, so it's pasul hakrov. What if the korban is nishkin balmum, but it looks awful? It looks sickly. You can have an animal, so nishkin treifa. If it's the treifa, it'll be pasul hakrova. And it's not a balmum, but it's mezuham. So the Gemara says, kishem shem mezuham pasul hakrova, kach yodai mezuham is psulus lebracha. If your fingers are sticky, let's say a person had children, they eat ice cream and they lick their fingers and the fingers are sticky. So they're not going to touch their shirt and they're not going to touch a book with the sticky fingers. They're not going to touch their pants with the sticky fingers. They're going to make a stain on their pants. So they're not allowed to say bar nefashes until they wash mayim achronim. You have to wash. In the days of the Gemara, they used to eat everything with their fingers. It's a modern practice that we have forks and knives and spoons. We don't touch all the food directly. But years ago, until very recently, everybody ate all the food with their fingers. So when you're about to bench, you're not allowed to bench with sticky fingers. So Tosis says there are two different reasons. According to that reason, let's say the person already, he didn't have any water to wash mayim achronim, he benched already. So there's no use in washing mayim achronim afterwards, he already benched. But according to our Gemara, that the reason why I need mayim achronim is because of the chashash, melech sdomis, that's mesames oinayim, so even if he didn't have the mayim achronim before the benching, it's still an inyan to wash after the benching. It'll be a sakana, not to stick it into your eyes. So then Tosis says, and our practice is, that we don't wash mayim achronim at all. That's how they start off. The Gemara makes it is based on a pasuk. This kaddishim, Gemara brachas, nun gimel. This kaddishim is my rishonim. This in kedoshim is my machrenim. So it sounds like it's a real din deraisa. So first Tesis knocks it down. It's not a din deraisa. It's only an asmachta. And then they say, and therefore bismanazah we don't observe it at all. How'd they do away with it in Gansen? They say yadaim is zohamis psulus lebracha. They say like this: Melach Sodom is the Baal HaTais lived in Europe. So they said they're nowhere near Sodom, so there's no Melach Sodom is there. So they don't have to worry about Melach Sodom. So the Gemara says it's only Melach Sodom. It's regular salt is not a chashash. Only Melach Sodom is a big chashash. And Yadayim Zoham is Psulis Lebrach only means if your perception is that your fingers are sticky, that you wouldn't touch a shirt, that you wouldn't touch a book, you're going to make a grease on it, make a greasy stain. Well, the Baal HaTais said, after we finish eating, we're not going to wash our hands. We're going to touch the pages of the book, and we're going to touch our clothing, and we're not worried about it. Either they had greasy stains all over, and nothing bothered them, or somehow they licked their fingers, whatever. Somehow there was no problem of yadayim zohamis. So Taisa says neither consideration applies today. There's no melach sedomis, and there's no issue of yadayim zohamis. So therefore, we don't need my machren. That's what Taisa says. That's Maim Rishonim. Maim Rishonim. I was just talking about Maim Achrenim. There are two reasons for Maim Achrenim. Then the Gemara says there's a takana for Maim Rishonim. So that's a question. The Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara says, well, he learned in Erevin, the beginning of the second paragraph in Erevin, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you need Netilas Yadayim for eating Truma. And then in later generations, they made a takana, the Rabbanon, that you need Netilas Yadayim for eating bread. So what's the reason why you need the tilis yadayim for truma? So that's because we learned in the end of Saita. I mean, Bayasa was the end of Saita. We learned the end of Saita first, then we learned the beginning of Saita. So Bayasa, the last piece of the Saita we learned, it was all about Tuma Litar. So in Chulin, you can have Avi Avoisa Tuma and Av HaTuma, Arishin Tuma, and Sheni the Tuma, and that's the end of the line. And in Truma, you can have Ashlishi Lituma. And in Kodesh you can have a Revi Latuma, and in Poradum you can have a Chamishi. That's a Tosefta. And that's the end of the line. So there's a din midirabanan, minatoira, a person can never be a Sheni. A person, if he's dead, he's Avi Avos Atuma, a grandfather. And if he went to a funeral, he touched the mace, or he's in the same room, he comes an Av Atuma. And if he shakes hands with someone, after I went to the funeral, the mace is the Avi Avos and I'm an Av Atuma. If I touch you, you become a Rishon Latuma. So a Rishon Latuma is called the Tolda. Av HaTuma is an Av, and Rishon Sheni Shlishi Chamishi, all of these are Toldas. So the Gemara says that there are four categories of things that are Mekabel Tuma, Odna Mekelem Ochlem and Mashkim. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Bava Kama that Odna Mekelem can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Av HaTuma. A Rishon Latuma cannot transmit Tuma to Odna Mekelem, only to Ochlem and Mashkim. So Odom can never be a Sheni Latuma. How can it be a Sheni Lituma? He was Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon. The Tuma, when it's transmitted, always goes down a Madrega. So how can an Adam ever be a Sheni Lituma if the Tuma was transmitted to him from a Rishon? A Rishon is a Tolden, and a Tolden can't be Metami Adam. It can only be Metami Ochlam HaMashk. That's what we learned in the Gemara in Saito. So it's impossible that an Adam could be a Sheni Lituma. Then it's impossible that part of the body should be tummy, part of the body should be Torah. That's a person, his tummy goes to mikvah, he dips in one finger, he dips in the next finger, dips in one leg, dips in the other leg, then he dips in his head, then he dips in this side, that side. It's not mitahir. Either your tummy or your tohar. There is no tahara lachatzoy. When you have a tray for kelin, you want a kashuret, you want to do a hagala, so that says in the Shulchan Aruch, that says in the Gemara, you can kasher a part at a time. But if you have a kli that you want to be toivel in the mikveh, you have to have maim shel kol guf ela behem bebasachas. You have to be toivel. You have to submerge the whole kli under the surface of the water in the mikveh at the same time.
Today's daf is tumalei var. The daf you have today is something about tumalei var.
What is it talking? If you stick. Tumalei var means if I stick my hand in a kli cheres. The din is that if I have a dead sheretz, I have a dead mouse, and I dangle it, I hold it by the tail, and I dangle it in a kli cheres, so even though it doesn't touch the
kli cheres. Rashi said the pshat was that the nida had her leg was nechtach, and that was That's still tame and one the rest.
Once it even though it's cut off completely.
It's an aver detached.
Detached aver. Okay, I don't know what it is. I'm not learning daf yet. I don't know. Yeah. So an Adam, you can't have part of the Adam is tummy, part of the Adam is tar, doesn't exist. And you can't have an Adam, should be a sheni, doesn't exist. The lowest an Adam can be is a Rishon. If an Av HaTumah contacts an Adam, the Adam, the Tumah, when it's transmitted, goes down a Madrega, the Adam becomes a Rishon, can become a sheni. So Shlomo HaMelech made this takana, the Stam Yadayim Shnias Hein, breaking both rules. There is no such thing. The Yad is tummy, the rest of the body is tar. And the Ad is a Sheni, it doesn't exist. Adam can either be Abi Avaisa Avatum, it can be a Rishon, it can't be a Sheni. So he made this Chumra that Yodaim Sam Yodaim Shnei Sein. So if a person is going to touch Truma with Stam Yodaim, he'll pass the Truma, because a Sheni also should be Truma. So Shlomo HaMelech made a Takana, you have to wash until it's Yodaim to remove the Truma Sayodaim. So the Mishnah is saying, Masechus Yodaim, if you dip your hands in a mikveh, so fine. So like if your whole body is tummy, you dip your body in the mikveh, so the whole body becomes tar. So if only my hands are tummy, I dip my hands in a mikveh, so there's no problem. What if I'm pouring water on the hand? So that's a takana de rabbanon. The whole thing is a takana de rabbanon. That's a takana de rabbanon that it removes the tumah. If I dip my hands in a mikveh, I have a pasuk in chumash that the water in the mikveh does not become tummy. The water in the mikveh that's metahir me doesn't become tummy. But what about if I'm pouring water on my hands? My hands are shniyos, so sheni should be metame the water, even though there's no shlishi by chulin. But kol apaisalos hatrum and metame sayadaim liastchila. So the water should really become a rishon l'tumah. So they made a din de rabbanon when you pour the water on the hands. So you should pour maim shniyim. The water that you pour on the hand, if you pour revius bevasachas, then it's like being tovel at a mikveh. But if you're not pouring a whole revius bevasachas, you have to have a revius in the cup. You have to have a revius of water in the cup. Let's say I pour 3/4 of revius of water on the hand, so that removes the tum on the hand, but the water will be mekabel tum. So you want to get rid of the water, so you need maim shniyim. So that's mishnayis and yadayim. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The takana to wash netilas yadayim before you eat bread, the Gemara says that was not made by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech's takana only was on truma v'kachim. He didn't make on truma. So the question was, in the later generations when they instituted the takana that you have to wash netilas yadayim for eating bread, ma'am rishonim, what was that based on? So some rishonim say explicitly that's mishum srach truma. It's like a light fluke. The original takana was when you eat truma v'kachim, you have to remove the tumah. So the same over here, they made a takana de rabbanon to be machman all bread. They weren't machman all food that you eat, only a bread. Even though truma can be fruits and vegetables also, labdavke bread, but they only made the takana on bread, but it's mishum srach truma. So then you have to have mayim shniyim by washing the tilas yadayim, just like you need by the tilas yadayim for truma. That's mishnayis. The mishnayis and yadayim say you need mayim shniyim. And other rishonim say no, that the tilas yadayim for bread is only mishum nikiyas. That's on the next daf here. On kuvava and aleph, there's a taisus mitzvah lishmoya. There are two taisus mitzvah lishmoya. So the first taisus mitzvah lishmoya divrei chachamim. What's the mitzvah to have the tilas yadayim? So taisus says one reason is mishum srach truma, and one srach truma means a loyplug otu truma, and one reason is mishum nikiyas, hygienic purposes. The goyim also wash their hands before they start eating a meal. So that's why. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Do you require mayim shniyim when you're washing for bread, just like you need mayim shniyim for truma? If it's mishum srach truma, if you want to remove the tumah sayodayim, then you have to have mayim shniyim. Unless you're pouring a revius bevasachas, a revius bevasachas is like being toivel your hands in a mikveh, and the water of the mikveh does become tummy. But if you're pouring less than a revius, then you need mayim shniyim. So that's machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the takana de rabbanon that was made in a later generation, you have to wash until it's yadayim for bread, is that only mishum nekiyas, and there's no need for mayim shniyim? Or is it not only mishum nekiyas, it's also mishum srach truma, and mele you'll also need the mayim shniyim for chulin?
Find the word nekiyas here. Does it mean physically that has to be clean, or is it another meaning?
No, hygienic purposes.
In other words, if I just come out of a shower and I'm clean, I
No, they made a loyplug, they made a takarabanan. If you're going to say each person has to decide what his hands are clean, so there'll always be mezazel, no one will ever wash their hands. So they said everyone has to wash their hands, like by the goyim also. Everybody has to wash your hands with soap and water before you start eating the meal. Mishum the kids. Okay, they made a loyplug by the goyim. See, they made a loyplug. The Chayodim has such a famous sofik. Chayodim is mesupik, a person washed until his yadayim, and he's eating a sandwich in the middle of eating bread. Then he touches a pair of tefillin. So the din is that the kisvei hakodesh ametamin hayadayim, and the ritzuos of the tefillin ametamin hayadayim. See, as a suffix, does that require of you that you have to wash netilas yadayim all over again? If netilas yadayim is mishum srach truma, that your yadayim are sheni letuma, so that's the din with the rabbanon. One who touches a strange din, but that's a din of mishnayis yadayim. The one who touches a bias shel tefillin, and one who touches ritzuas, one who touches a mezuzah, is mitamis hayadayim, then he has to wash over again. But if he say that netilas yadayim lechulin, to eat bread, it's not mishum srach truma at all. It's only mishum nikias. What's the problem if he touched tefillin in the middle? That's not a problem of nikias. So the chayodim is mesupik how we should pass kan halacha lemaisa. So the minig is everybody washes maim shniyim, but maybe that's only lechumra. Maybe you want to do lechumra. What would be halacha lemaisa if you touch a pair of tefillin in the middle of the meal? Would you have to wash all over again? So he's mesupik. Bottom line, halacha lemaisa. So that's a machlekes harishayim. So here again, so the halachas gedolos claim the Gemara says Maim Rishayim is a mitzvah and Maim Rachayim is a chayva. Why is Maim Rachayim benegia to what is it a chayva? So the Rabbeinu Tam refers you to the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Zayin that it means the soldiers in the army don't have to abod varm patro b'machne. We're lenient on the soldiers; they don't have unlimited supply of water. So when mekel, they can eat the bread without until it's a dime. But mayim achrenim, they have to wash because that's a sakana. That's the significance of saying chayva, more of an obligation of a mitzvah.
But he said Rabbi Akiva in the when he was in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
The water, and he used it to wash his hands.
I mean, why is it mochamer if you're in prison? It should be the same as in the army. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was machmer alatzmoy. Rabbi Akiva, they only gave him so much water that he needed to live on. So instead of drinking the water, he used the water to wash in the tilis yadayim, and he didn't have any water to drink. So the Talmud who was there asked Rabbi, you're going to die. You have to drink the water. So he said, I'd rather die from dehydration with no water than die because I'll be punished for eating the bread without the tilis yadayim. So that's Amidas Chasidus, Meikar Adin. There's a suffix sakana, so you drink the water. You don't use the water for until it's that.
The Rosh Yeshiva said that the Gadol Hador has a special achrayus, so that's why.
Yeah. Permitted to put your life in sakana. You're permitted to give up your life, even though the Rambam says that whenever the din is that the yavra v'al yeharik, whenever the din says pikuach nefesh is deicha mitzvah, and you want to be moisa nefesh, the Rambam holds that it's an iser of suicide. He's dama berosha if he's going to cause his death. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ran that tzaddikim, unusual tzaddikim, we find in the Gemara every so often that they were permitted to do it. Like Yesh Koch Miram Ad Chachamim, like Adab Manatar Vekum Vasei Lemigdal Milsa LoHayro Asher Lemigdal Milsa. Unusual cases, yeah.
You mentioned that one of the reasons why we are not as magic about Mayim Achronim is because we don't live near Sodom. What happens if somebody lives near Sodom or his fault is from Sodom nowadays?
Then he should wash Medina, then he has to wash.
Oh, yeah.
Or if his fingers are sticky, to the extent that he wouldn't touch his shirt, he wouldn't touch his trousers, he wouldn't touch a book, then Medina needs Mayim Achronim. That is correct. And other Rishonim disagree with Taisus. You look in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the other Rishonim saying, no, it was a Takanas Chachamim.
Would need a shear of these or even less?
I don't think you need a revius. I don't think you need a revius. The revius that's Mishnayis, that's only by Maim Rishonim. I don't think you need it. Huh? No. So again, so it's a Machlekes, the Rabbein Tam and the Bahag. Why does the Gemara call Maim Achreinim Chayva? What are they driving at? Rabbi Natam says the Gemara in Erevin explains it what they're driving at. Abar Doram Patra Bamachna, the soldiers in the army have to be more medactic on Mayim Achronim than Mayim Rishonim because it's detrimental to your health. And the Bahak says, no, it means a different word. Whatever it says, Chayva means something you have to do, but it's not called a mitzvah, so you don't say a bracha. That's why there's a machloikis in Taisvis in the beginning of Bamem Adlikin. The Gemara says, Shani Yomer, Hadlokas Ner Bishabis, Chayva. You have to benchlicht, we say benchlicht. Never says in the Gemara you bench lech. Never says you say a bracha. The Gemara says hadlokas haneris erev Shabbos is a chayva. So Tosis quotes half of the Balei Tosis say chayva is a technical term. According to the Vahag, that means something you have to do, which you don't say a bracha. That's why my machrein mechayva means it's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. So half of the Balei Tosis say you don't say a bracha on hadlokas haner. And by us as Zangunuman, we're benching lech. That's a dead giveaway. You're benching lech means that you are saying a bracha. So Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that you say a bracha and hadlokas on there. So the Achrayim said there is no such Yerushalmi. There is no such Yerushalmi. We didn't have any girsa like that. So in the history books they say it was instituted, the bracha, they suggest, it sounds like it was instituted in the days of the Goinim. Tosis quotes that a Yerushalmi. So a lot of times Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi, they're referring to some outside source other than the Talmud Bavli. Sometimes Talmud Yerushalmi, what we call Talmud Yerushalmi, sometimes Midrashim, and sometimes Tshuvas HaGoinim. So they call all outside sources, they call Yerushalmi. And the Goinim, that's what the history books say. The Goinim introduced the Bracha because they were fighting with the Karoim. That the Karoim used to sit in the dark on Friday night because they misunderstood the Pasuk that says, L'Sabareish B'chomash V'Sechem V'Yom HaShabbos. You're not allowed to leave any fires on Shabbos. So Friday night they had a warm meal because it was warmed up on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos morning they had a cold meal. And the Chachamim said it does mean that. It means you're not allowed to strike a match. You're not allowed to throw in fuel into the fire. You're not allowed to do Havara, but to let something burn, let a light burn on Shabbos, that's permissible. So to demonstrate, so the Goyim said, say a bracha, l'hadig ner shal Shabbos, to demonstrate that the tzedukim are wrong, that the karoim are wrong. There's nothing wrong with benching lich. That's what the Baal HaMoed writes, that that's why there's a special inyan to each cholent.
But that doesn't say that you're benching before Shabbos. If the karoim were benching before Shabbos.
No, they wouldn't leave the lights on.
Yeah, but the bracha you're making, just, so why? Okay.
No, they would light a candle.
The fact that we leave the light burning.
Okay. Right, leave the light burning, right. Some Chacham Avadya quotes that some Sfardish Shekilas, I never heard Ashkenazim have, some Sfardish Shekilas have a meaning, they only say a bracha l'halig ner shel Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, and Erev Yontov, they don't say a bracha. Why not? So he said that's the reason why, because on Shabbos the Karoim held you're not allowed to leave a light burning, l'savaresh, and Yontov eichal nefesh is mutter. So they also, the Karoim also would leave
they
a candle burning.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a pasuk in Chumash. So that's a pasuk in Parshas Bai. So the Karaim would also leave on lights on Erev Yontov. They would leave on lights. The Baal HaMoed writes in Perikira, in the third Perik in Shabbos, that there's a special mitzvah to eat warm food on Shabbos morning. Whoever doesn't eat warm food on Shabbos morning, tzoch bedika achrav, you have to check, maybe it's from the Karaim, maybe it's an apikoris, that he holds like the Karaim, that lo sabar reish, that you're not allowed to leave any lights on. Years ago, that used to be the symbol in the days of the Karoim. The way to tell whether the person was Orthodox or not was, did he have lights on or not? If he had lights on in his home, you know that he's Orthodox. If he didn't have lights on, you know that he's from the Karoim. And when I was growing up, it was fakert. The way this Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Orthodox people would not leave the lights on. There were no Shabbos clocks. Going to leave the lights on is going to cost you a fortune. So the Orthodox homes were always dark. And those who were not Orthodox, the lights were on, and they were going to turn off all the lights later on, until they invented the Shabbos clocks. So that was what Rav Soloveitchik said. When they first invented the Shabbos clocks, it was really Marizai. The first couple of years, when people used the Shabbos clock, the lights would go off, the lights would go on. So the first couple of years, people taka violated Marizai. And then when it became so well known, that everybody's turning off the lights and turning on the lights with the Shabbos clock, it became always Marizai. But originally, probably was a Marizai.
Brachas after Ravina Rav Ashi had always said that
it's a problem. It's a problem. We usually assume the Gemara says the Anshin Knes HaGdoyla were the ones who composed all the brachas. Ben Kami Yelech, also the Sapa B'Shvachas Shal Mokim. Anshin Knes HaGdoyla was a body that consisted of 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. We assume that the Nevi'im, these Chachamim, with the assistance of the Nevi'im, they knew how to compose brachas. And after the Anshei Knes HaGdoyla, it's not right to recite any brachas. How do you know whether you're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam? You may be saying something silly. Like the Gemara says, you're going to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like the farmer has no hasag of money, so he praises the king is so rich, he has $100 in the bank account. $100 every pauper has. The king has billions of dollars in the bank account. So a person may praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adar Baruch Shalom is so wonderful, he makes it rain or something. He may say something silly. So you need Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who had amongst them Kama Nevi'im, to compose a Nusach HaTfilah. So we usually assume Mikan V'Yelech, after the time of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, also the Sapeh B'Shvachu Shalmach. Now let it compose your own bracha. So every so often we have a bracha that was clearly composed later. How do you say, Anoisan Lo Yoif Koyach doesn't appear in the Gemara. That was composed later. Kaddish Shimcha Barabim was composed later. The women say the bracha, Shosani Kirutzono, so that was composed later. So there are those who take don't say these brachas. They don't recite those brachas. But they say B'li Shema Malchus, because it's the Shaila Mikam V'Yelech, also the Sapa B'Shvachu Shamokim. And other, most people do say the brachas. I wasn't composed before by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. So it's a problem. The Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas quotes a Nusach HaBracha that the Gaonim composed. When a person first gets married to a girl who was never married before, yeah, and he sees that she was a psula, she's not a bula, so he's all excited, so he should recite a whole bracha. So the Rosh says, we don't say that bracha, because it doesn't appear in the Gemara, it was not composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So there, I don't think anybody alive today says that bracha. I should tzor egois. And the other brachas, Hanois and Leif Koyach, and a lot of the other brachas are recited by other people. Which? Oh, that? So that's a problem. You say, how can the Goyim compose a bracha lahalik Neshal Shabbos if Bizman HaGemara didn't exist? It's a good kasha. It's a problem. So that's the issue. The Taisus on the first Mishnah and Bama Madlikin has this machlekes. When you madlik Neiris on Erev Shabbos, do you say a bracha? Do you not say a bracha? So half of the Balei Taisus said no, because the Gemara has a lashon Shani Yomer Adlakas Neir B'Shabbos Chayva. Chayva means, like the Bahag said, something that you have to do, but it's not a mitzvah. So you don't say a bracha. The Rambam quotes the Bahag, you don't say a bracha Mayim Achronim, and the Ravid is Masig, you do say a bracha, but he holds that the bracha is not the same on the Tilis Yadayim. Perhaps he changes the Nusach HaBracha Al Rechitzas Yadayim something. So they don't understand exactly why did he change the Nusach HaBracha. What's wrong with Anatilus Yadayim from Rishonim and Mayim Achreinim? Why not have the same Nusach HaBracha? Why does it have to be a different Nusach?
We have a question from Milchemes HaMitzvah, we have the Chodesh Chovan, and the Mashmach, like Rehud and Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chovo, Mitzvah, or Milchemes Mitzvah. I think, don't they come out the same thing? They really mean the same, but one uses this phrase, one this phrase? Is there any relationship with Chovan Mitzvah?
Here the Gemara makes a fuss that there's a difference. Mayim Rishonim is mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is chovah. They're making a contrast. There, I think, no Tana says one is a mitzvah, one is a chovah. He says one is a mitzvah, one is a rishus, and he says one is a chovah, one is a rishus.
But it comes out the same, I think.
Same, yeah. Yeah. So there, because no Tana made a contrast between a mitzvah and a chovah. Our Gemara makes a contrast. Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is a chovah. You're both mechuyev to do both. So there must be some difference between the two. So Rabbi Natam holds the differences for the soldiers and the army. The Bahag holds that the differences when it gets to the bracha. So this is a famous Gemara with the Mayim Rishonim, with the Mayim Achronim. And Taisus says their practice is that they didn't wash Mayim Achronim at all. Anu, Taisus writes about 10 lines into the Taisus Mayim Rishonim. The last word on the line is Va'anu. Next line begins Lefi Shein Melech Zdeim Es Motze Benein Ola Nogim Amayim Achronim. Aye, but the Gemara said Viskadishtim the Yisim Kedoshim Kishem Shemazuam Pasol Avoida Kachedaim Zahamas Psulas Lebroche. So Tosis says, yeah, that's the Gemara in Broches on Daf Nun Gimel. So Tosis says, yeah, in the days of the Gemara they ate with their fingers and was your Daimas Zahamas. They wouldn't touch their clothing and they wouldn't touch a book unless they would wash their hands. So you're not allowed to say a bracha with sticky fingers either. Can't say Bar Nefashas either. Well, let's say you had the first course in the meal and your fingers are all sticky, and then it's time for the dessert, and you wouldn't touch your clothing with your fingers because they're all sticky, so you can't say Ha'etzi, you can't say Mezainis on the dessert. You have to wash your hands before you say the next bracha. It's not only you need Mayim Achronim for your Yadayim Zahamas to say Birchas HaMazon, to say Shehakala Bar Nefashas also Yadayim Zahamas HaPsulas. So Taisa says by us neither reason applies. We don't have Melech Zdayim as Motzah Beinein, there's no problem. And by us, it's not Yadayim Zahamas. And in Shulchan Aruch, The Mishnah Berurah makes a big fuss that many Rishonim disagree with the Tosfos, and they hold that it was a Takanas Chachamim. Chachamim made a Takana, you need Mayim Achrayinim, like you asked the question before. Tosfos says on the next daf, some Rishonim hold that the whole Takana, Mayim Rishonim, is only Mishum Nikiyah. So what if the guy just came out of the shower? So what does he need in the Tilis Adai Mishum Nikiyah? So the answer is they made a Loi Plug Rabbanim. So you're also, Mayim Achrayinim is Mishum Yadayim Mizuhamas, even if he doesn't have Yadayim Mizuhamas, since usually the fingers get sticky in the middle of the meal, and they said the Tanoim, the fingers would get sticky because they didn't use cutlery. So even Mizmana said that the whole reason for the Takana most of the time doesn't apply. Sometimes the fingers are sticky. Even when the reason doesn't apply, so other Rishonim hold that it's a light plug rabbon.
Actually, some fast people have a finger bowl. Actually, you do have water on the table during the meal.
To wash your fingers, yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara makes a distinction between the two. Mayim Rishonim and Achrayim. Let's see. On the second white line, Rishonim noitlim bein bekli bein al gabi karka. Mayim Rishonim, you can either pour the water into a bigger container, let's say at a wedding, when they have a place to wash in Tilis Adayim, so you can pour it into a bigger container, or a lot of times you pour the water on the floor, no problem. Mayim Achrayim, you're not supposed to pour it on the floor. Achrayim ein noitlim ela bikli. You should only pour the Mayim Achrayim into a kli. Amrilo, another version has it, which is basically the same thing. You shouldn't pour it on the floor.
You have to remove it from the table altogether.
Mayim Achrayinim. That's the Gemara is going to get to that. So first, the Gemara has two ways of saying the exact same thing. Mayim Achrayinim, you should pour into a kli, and the other version says the same thing. You shouldn't pour it on gabi karka. In fact, Gemara, Mike Benayu, what do you so medaktik? The version A, version B, it boils down to the same thing. You should pour my macharenim into a clay, not pour it on the floor. Zagmar name, there's a slight difference. Ikebenayu kinsa. The difference is, what if I have garbage here? I have junk over here. Grace, I have twigs. I have chopped up wood. I have sawdust or something. I'm going to pour my macharenim on top of the sawdust. So it's not going to be agabi karka, but it won't be into a clay. So according to that version that we said, now, my machrenim, you have to pour it into a kli, so agabi kinsa is not good enough. If it's on twigs, or if it's on top of sawdust, teignish. But if you just makpid not to pour my machrenim agabi karka, so this is not agabi karka, so there's no problem. The Gemara is going to discuss on another base. What's the issue? What's wrong agabi karka? What's wrong agabi kinsa? What's the issue? Why is there a difference between my machrenim and my machrenim? Then the Gemara said, that's one difference is Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achrayim is a chayva. Another difference is Agabi Karka. Mayim Rishonim may be Agabi Karka, Mayim Achrayim may not be. The third difference is, can you use hot water? Mayim Rishonim notlam bei mechamim bei mitzaynen. If you want, you can use hot water or warm water. The Gemara is going to have two versions. Can you even use hot water that's Yad Saledes Bo? If you use water Yad Nichves Bo, so scalding water, you're going to burn your hands. And the Meshugan is not going to. Not going to wash with mayim roschim, that mayim that's yad nichves bo. He's talking yad saledes bo. Yad saledes bo. You can take a shower in water that's yad saledes bo. If you're going to sit in a bathtub in water that yad saledes, usually the body will cool off the water. The body temperature is lower than the water. So if you take a bath, or a shower with yad nichves bo, you're going to be all red. Your skin is going to get burnt. If you take a bath or a shower and Yad Saled is both, so that's physically possible. See, so here it says that Mayim Rishonim, you can use Bein Mecham and Bein Mitzaynin. You can use, the Gemara is going to have two versions. Hot water, even Yad Saled is, that means warm water. The Gemara is going to come to Maskan, even hot water, even Yad Saled is Mutter. And Mayim Achrayinim is not saying, you have to use cold water. Why? Because if you use hot water, it won't accomplish what it's needed for. The whole purpose of the Mayim Achrayinim is to get the stickiness off of the fingers. I always thought, faker, so my fingers are sticky. If I wash over cold water, the stickiness is not going to get off. You have to use hot water. I don't know. The Gemara says that's because you use a lot of hot water. I don't know. Somehow the Gemara says, faker. I don't know what I mean. If you're just going to use hot water, it's not going to remove the stickiness. So you have to use dafke cold water. I don't understand how that works. Yeah. The Mayim Achrayinim, you should not use hot water. So now the Gemara is going to have two versions. When we made a distinction between hot water and cold water, are we talking only about hot water lukewarm, or even hot water that's yatzo lettuce. So the Gemara makes a distinction, but it's unclear where we're making the distinction. When we say mayim achrayim, you may not use hot water. That means you may not use yatzo lettuce, but warm water you may use. But mayim rishonim, you may even use yatzo lettuce. But he's saying no, mayim rishonim may use hot water only if it's hot, warm. But if it's yatzo lettuce, you may not use it. And mayim achrayim, even lukewarm water you shouldn't use. So these are two lishonis in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the last line. Am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yari lo shana ve'ela. What is he going on? He's going on mayim rishonim. Mayim rishonim, we can use hot water. It doesn't mean hot, hot. It means warm water. Lo shana ve'ela she'ena yatzo ledes bohem. Avo yatzo ledes bohem, ein netlum bohem. You're not allowed to use yatzo ledes water for mayim rishonim. And the other version has a deek of the maskin lo ha-sefer. Others have the same memory of Rabbi Yanai, but going on the sefer, that we said mayim achreinim on the third line from the top. Mayim achreinim ein neitlam ela b'tzaynin avo b'chamin lo. You're not allowed to use hot water for mayim achreinim. So the Rabbi Yana made a comment. What kind of hot water may you not use for mayim achreinim? Lo shana ela shayatzal edes b'hem. Avolein yatzal edes b'hem neitlam. And if you say like that, then what you're implying is michlal. The inference is the mayim rishonim apli shayatzal edes b'hem is muta. So that's how we say in Shulchan Aruch the yatzal edes b'hem. You can even use water that's yatzal lettuce to wash mayim rishonim. Yeah, why is there one opinion over here that you can't use yatzal lettuce for mayim rishonim? Mayim achrayim has to do. Is it going to do the trick? Is it going to clean off the grease, the stickiness from the fingers? Mayim rishonim, there's no issue of stickiness. You're going to accomplish nikias either way. So why should there be an opinion that the yatzal lettuce is teiknish? Why not? So there's a strange Rashi on top. Rashi gitazog. Water, yatzal lettuce, is ice water. Good morning. Yatzal lettuce, ice water. It doesn't have a shame, water. And there's a din of heksha mashkim, that oichel maron lemikabel tumeh, if you pour on water on one of the seven mashkim, yad shoch adam. So if you pour on burning hot water on an apple, it's not machshel lekabel tumeh. That's what Rashi says. Yatzal lettuce, Rashi writes, nichves. We assume yatzal lettuce, yad nichves are two different things. Yatzal lettuce, we're machmer 120 is yatzal lettuce. Yad nichves is way higher than that. And my yatzal lettuce, we're botlu v'nishtanu mitoras mayim. Woo! Botlu mitoras mayim. If you have water that's burning hot, it's yatzal lettuce, that is ice mayim.
It's a new compound. It's a new
yeah. So this was a big machlekes before the Second World War. I think Rabbi Menachem Zember came up with this chiddush based on this Rashi, that if you have water that's yatzal lettuce and you ice water, so it's not one of the zayim mashkim. So if you pour it on an apple, it won't be machsha the apple of kavul tum.
Maybe what he means is if you use such hot water on your hands, you'll be hesitant to pour enough water on
that. Ah, yeah, that would be good. Yeah, but Rashi doesn't sound like he says that. Rashi nishtanu mitoras mayim. Yeah, that's a common sense pshat. That's a good pshat. But it was Rashi didn't say that. Rashi sounds like he said, Ois Mayim, that Ois Mayim. So this is a machlekes, Menachem Zem and Adi Gdolim. Menachem Zem was a businessman. There was a period of time that they had Goinim Adirim, they knew Shas, Bavli, Rishalmi, and they were not Rabbanim, they were businessmen. So Menachem Zem was one of that Chevra. He used to hang out together in Poland. Goinim, Goinim. That's a famous Rashi. Okay, and we pass on Halacha that Yatzal lettuce is good for Mayim Rishon. Okay. Stop here. In the beginning of today's Sedra, Yosef brings his two children. He heard Hine Avicha Chayla, the father is sick. So he brings his two children, they should get a bracha from the father. So he says, so Yaakov Avinu tells them that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when I was coming back from Padna Aram back to Eretz Yisrael, so the Ribbono Shel Olam told me, Goy yikal goy mi yeh mimeko, umalochim mechalatzecha yetzeu. The Ribbono Shel Olam told me, I'm going to have another two shvatim. And the only shevet that was born afterwards was Binyamin. So where was it fulfilled? Goy yikal goy mi yeh mimeko is going to have two shvatim. So Yaakov Avinu says, I understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me the right to divide up one of the two shvatim. So one shevet is going to turn into two. So I give that bracha to Yosef. As if he took away the bchor. Reuven was the bchor, so he should have had pishnai. So instead of Reuven was sin, so he lost the Bechorah, so they gave the Bechorah to Yosef. So Yaakov Avinu says, Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruv and Meshimen Yearly. Just like Reuven and Shimon are two Shvatim, so Ephraim and Menashe should be two Shvatim. So Rashi has a comment on that pasuk. With respect to what? Are Menashe and Ephraim considered two Shvatim? So we know in the Midbar, each one had his own Nasi, and the first 12 days of Chodesh Nissan, after they completed building the Mishkan, so the 12 Nasim brought special Karbonis, the Chanukah HaMizbech. So one day was Nasa the Ephraim, Elishama ben Amir, the Nasha ben Menashe was Gamliel ben Padot, whatever. Each Shevet had a different Nasi. And then when they were traveling in the Midbar, so there was a Degel Machne Ephraim, and there was every Shevet had its own Degel. And they were traveling in the Midbar, so there were three Shvatim on this side, three Shvatim over there. So Menashe and Ephraim were two Shvatim for all the Inyanim of Kovet. What about for money? What about for money purposes? And Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi writes here, and Rashi repeats it later in the end of Bamidbar, Parshas Masei. For money, it didn't make a difference, because when they divided Eretz Yisrael, it says, L'rav tarbin nachlos, l'amat tarbin nachlos. So if there would be a bigger Shevet that had a bigger population, so that Shevet would get a larger share in Eretz Yisrael. V'lamat, and a smaller Shevet would get a smaller share in Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that Yosef was divided to Menashe and Ephraim, if they would have been one Shevet, they would have gotten a larger area. Now that the two smaller Shvatim, each Shevet got the same amount, they would have gotten either way. Anyway, that's how Rashi claims. And the Ramban HaChumash quotes the Rashi and he disagrees, and he says, no, when they divided Eretz Yisrael amongst the 12 Shvatim Shevet Levi didn't get, so Menashe got an equal share to Ephraim, an equal share to Yisachar, an equal share to Zvulun. When it says L'rav tarbin nachlos, V'lamat tarbin nachlos, it doesn't mean that the Shevet that had a larger population got a larger share. It means after you're dividing L'mishpachas and so on. But the Chaluka L'shvatim comes out that because Yosef was divided into two Shvatim, so he got a larger share in Eretz Yisrael. Each Shevet gets a bigger share. It's a discussion in the Rishonim how to read a Gemara in Yesh Nechlin. The Gemara in Yesh Nechlin discusses this topic explicitly. So it's a machlek is how to read the Gemara. So Rav Velbel of Soloveitchik has a harif as dikavort. It's not really his style. He has a harif as dikavort on the pasuk in Vizayis HaBracha. So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving all the brachas. So he says, he gives the bracha to Yosef, so he says, Bechor Shoro Hodolo. The Bechorah was taken away from Reuven and was given to Yosef, that he had two Shvatim, he was divided to two. So, what did the Bechorah consist of? Bechor Shoro Hodolo. So, given an Indian from COVID, those alts. There was no nafkamina for dollars and cents. When they were traveling in the Midbar, they had a separate Degel Machna Ephraim and a separate Degel for Shevet Menashe. And then when they had Chanukah HaNasiim, so every Nasi for Ephraim and Nasi for Menashe, each one had the covet. But it didn't make a difference in dollars and cents. So he says, you get the impression from the Pasi, Bechor Shoro, the Bechorah consisted of Hodala, an Inyan from covet, thus alts. It sounds like Rashi. That according to Ramban, they got twice as much Chelek and Eretz Yisrael. It's enough Kamina and money.
Rachman, who you find the same with covet.
Yes. Some people live on covet.
Yeah, I heard some of it. And
probably will not be able to. Whenever I switch the shit to another night, it's a hefty offer. I try to come later. Where's the wedding?
It's the same.
See if it's a
good okay, I can get you a cab. I'll bring you a cab if it's okay. I'll ask you.
Not a cab. Whoever usually drives me out.
Yeah, I can get out of the way. I'll get you a cab to go. Drive you back.
Okay. I think Shachai's going to
Still works, huh?